Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's head to the phone lines right now, be joined by our next guest. His name is Ken Carmen. He does morning radios for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Ken, how's it going?
Not bad. Thanks for having me.
So my stance this week has been, I think that Cleveland's going to be able to run the football effectively. They're one of the three best running teams in the NFL. I don't think that's going to be enough, and I think Baker's going to need to throw for 280 yards, maybe more, a couple touchdowns and no interceptions in order for Cleveland to pull off the upset. Do you think Baker is capable of playing that way on the road against a quality opponent?
Absolutely do. He did it against quality opponents in the past this season. He's really come along this season. I think he can. On Sunday, it's just going to be whether or not he can play. I think it's whether or not the defense could play up to snuff against Kansas City's offense. And I think that the Browns' offense is about as good as you're going to be able to find personnel-wise in the NFL, even without Odell Beckham Jr. It's just a question of the defense because they've had so many changes over the last few years. They're competing at about 65% of what they could be because they have so many changes they need to make still. In their secondary and with their linebacking core. And because of some of the guys who are coming up for free agency, even with that defensive line. So I think they can throw efficiently. I think they can run efficiently. I don't think I have a problem with their offense. I think their problem is probably going to run down with their secondary, with Denzel Ward coming back from 2 weeks out, Kevin Johnson coming back from a couple weeks out. There's going to be some guys in some places that, you know, against Patrick Mahomes, it's going to be a bit tough.
Right now we're talking to Ken Carmen of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, getting the Cleveland perspective. Baker's already had three separate head coaches in his early career. What has Kevin Stefanski given Baker that the previous head coaches didn't?
He's given him stability. I think everybody in the world knew that Hugh Jackson was on his way out when Baker Mayfield was drafted. And it was one of the reasons where I hate calling for guys' jobs, and I thought it was a bad decision to keep Hugh Jackson after that year. Everybody knew that he was probably going to be gone at the end of the next season or certainly much earlier during the season, and that's what happened. And Greg Williams is a pretty good coach, but Greg Williams can be – well, you guys certainly know how Greg Williams can be. I don't think I need to tell anybody about how Greg Williams can be. But he's a pretty good coach, but he's not – I don't think he's an NFL head coach, and Baker knew that as well. And so John Dorsey, who did a very good job with this football team, made one horrific error, and that was hiring Freddie Kitchens. And Freddie was already on the staff, which makes things tough because he's buddy-buddy with everybody. Now he's got to get discipline out of him. And it was really a carnival. And in year two, Baker Mayfield did not do what he was supposed to do from year one in terms of what he should do during the offseason, taking care of himself, studying, doing the things he needed to do. He really was not ready to play in 2019. And it created a really bad situation because Freddie Kitchens wasn't ready to be his head coach. And they weren't ready to call an offense the correct way to help out Baker Mayfield. Well, Kevin Stefanski seems ready to be a head coach. Baker Mayfield took this offseason much more seriously and understood that this is an opportunity that could be taken away if he didn't play very well. Didn't play much better this year. And he has played much better. He's played pretty well down the stretch. So I think what Kevin Stefanski's done is just provided a solid foundation for him where the first 3 years, it was pretty crazy. I mean, you look at your own situation with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, it goes without saying Andy Reid's a good coach. And I think that with a lot of young quarterbacks, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, if he was drafted by a lot of different teams, probably would have just elevated him. But he's special. I think if you look at 95% of the other young quarterbacks out there, you need somebody that you can count on. And he did not have any of that. And so this year has been a nice breath of fresh air that, yeah, there's somebody who knows what they're doing. There's somebody who's organized. And I think that's led for better play for Baker Mayfield. And I think that was actually highlighted in the game against Pittsburgh where he didn't have Kevin Stefanski on the sideline.
You brought up John Dorsey. Of course, he was here before he was there, Ken. How would you quantify the job that he did in Cleveland? Because we were calling this the Dorsey Bowl, going back to all the guys he drafted here in Kansas City. I know he was there for a short time, but would you quantify it as a good time?
I would. I think that, first off, I really do like John Dorsey a lot as a guy. Second of all, I think that he did a good job in player evaluation. You know, he came in, he brought in Austin Corbett as the second-round pick, and Austin Corbett struggled heavily. And now he's had a pretty nice career so far with the L.A. Rams. He's really picked up the pace. The same thing with Wyatt Teller. They traded for Wyatt Teller last year, and he's become one of the better guards in the NFL over there on the right side. His draft picks, Nick Chubb has worked out. If Denzel Ward could stay healthy, that's always our big concern. Denzel Ward can play at an elite level, but his health is always going to be a major concern. And now that Baker's had the guidance, he's starting to play like the pick they wanted him to play with. It was just the one decision that ended up being such a horrific decision, and that was hiring Freddie Kitchens and then bringing in Todd Monken, where those two did not get along. I don't think that Todd Monken had very much respect at all for Freddie Kitchens. I think that really bothered Freddie. And I think that those two spent so much time fighting over what type of offense they were going to call that they had no plan for Sunday. I think they spent all week arguing about what type of offense they should run, where then they would start to fight and not actually have anything ready to go on Sunday. And that was a huge mistake. And so for John Dorsey, he did about 95% of the job really well. But that other 5% was a huge, huge miss. And it's a shame because I think that if you're a team looking for a GM, I mean, I'm not his agent. You can hire whoever you want. But if you're a team looking at a GM, I don't know how you look at what's going to happen on Sunday here and look at all these players and look at all this quality between both these teams and not think that John Dorsey knows how to pick players. I wouldn't let him pick a coach. I wouldn't let him manage a salary cap. But I sure as hell love to have him in my front office if I were one of these other teams. I'll tell you that.
Speaking of Sunday, it feels like the sentiment around these parts, Ken, is that – Cleveland's only way of hanging around in this game or possibly winning this football game is if the Chiefs shoot themselves in the foot like Cheddar Bob and 8 Mile and they turn the ball over a couple of times and Baker goes out there and plays the game of his life. Do you think it's going to take a perfect game from the Browns to beat the Chiefs on Sunday?
It doesn't take a perfect game for just about anybody to beat the Chiefs on any Sunday. I know that their defense can be questionable at times, but it's still a good group. I know that they've had their injuries with the running game at times, but it's still a good group. Mahomes, you know, there's so much where I look at Patrick Mahomes and Patrick Mahomes has fixed a lot of what I say on the air. Because I watched guys from Texas Tech in the past, and it made me think in a way that I think is unfounded and silly. Well, just because Cliff Kingsbury is a quarterback or Graham Harrell came from Texas Tech doesn't mean that Patrick Mahomes is going to have the same outlook or have the same career. His arm strength, his accuracy, I'm sure I don't know how you guys talk about him because it seems to be perfect from my perspective. And so when I watch him, it's really a marvel. And I think, gosh, they're at about 65% of what they need to be. I think in a year or two, their defense, if they make the right moves, and they got to make the right moves, that's a hope. That's not a guarantee that they could play right there up with them. But, yeah, Kansas City's going to have to turn the ball over here. They're going to have to do some things and take some risks to try to get them to turn the ball over. And, you know, there's only 6 interceptions, and I know he had one bad day at the office earlier this year. I don't know if he's going to be able to have 2. So they have to play very well on offense. They have to get in the end zone. They can't give up field goals, or they can't just take field goals. They have to get in the end zone, and then they have to hope that there's going to be some turnovers on the offensive end that they can capitalize on. But even then, you know, you go back to last year against Houston and Tennessee, and gosh, 9 minutes left to go in the Super Bowl. That's a lot easier said than done. So it's a tall task ahead of this football team on Sunday.
Right now we're talking to Ken Carman of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland for a couple more minutes, taking a look at the divisional round matchup between the Chiefs and the Browns. Ken, I think all three of us feel really confident about the Browns' offense to go out there and score and be able to put up points. I got significant questions about the defense. You've brought up some of them. What do you make of Cleveland's ability to match up against Kansas City? Because I think of all the teams in the playoffs, I think that Cleveland's defense might be the worst.
Their defense, there's guys who – it's weird because I have to evaluate some of these guys or they have to evaluate some of these guys as they're trying to win games and win playoff games here. Like, you watch some of these players here. Okay, MJ Stewart, he can stay. He might be a nice backup here for this football team in the future. Jacob Phillips is a rookie, plays like a fire plug, but he's a rookie. That means he's going to make mistakes. B.J. Goodson, he's a good quarterback of the defense there at that linebacker spot. Is he the long-term answer? I don't think anybody really wants him to be the long-term answer. He's been around, but we'll see how that one goes. There's a little bit of gold in them hills, but they still need to get some picks. They still need to get some guys who can help out. I've defended Joe Woods. Some fans have been upset. I just don't think he really has the personnel right now to do everything that he wants to do, and I think that could probably end up costing him. If I look at the Bills' defense, you know, you got guys there that have played in that system for a long time. The Ravens' defense, it goes without saying, those guys have played in that system. Kansas City, the same thing. You just, because of the changeover that they've had, a lot of philosophy gets changed on the defensive side. And we've been in Cleveland, we've been the victim of that for a long time. There's been guys who have been drafted and look like they have potential, and then they don't materialize, and we get upset on the defensive side of the ball. They either get cut, they get traded, and they end up making impacts for other teams in the postseason because they're playing for teams that have a defensive philosophy, have had their coaches around for more than a year, and they're able to find themselves in a home. There's a guy like Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett can play in any defense. Myles Garrett can play with high school kids. But there's not many Myles Garretts out there. There's guys who are really good in a 4-3 hybrid or a 3-4 hybrid. They're good with their hand in the dirt, and they find themselves a place where they can put their hand in the dirt. They're good standing on the edge, and they find themselves a defensive coordinator who's going to let them stand on the edge, and they're able to make an impact there. But right now, they're still looking for the personnel to develop their defensive philosophy. And I regret to say that might be end up – I think it could be a tighter game than what people expect, but that could end up being what costs them.
Last question here, Ken, and we appreciate the time. We're up against it. On Monday, a lot was, I guess, talked about. I don't want to say made of the Kareem Hunt comments in the locker room about this game being personal. Cleveland just gave Kareem Hunt a 2-year, $13.5 million contract this offseason. He had some small incidents. I don't want to blow them out of proportion. How happy would you say Cleveland as a team is? How happy would you say that, I guess fans are with what they've received so far from Kareem Hunt?
Well, I think a lot of fans are pretty happy with the play. I think for the first time, you know, last year he was suspended part of the year, and then he came in, and it was a little bit difficult for him. I think for the first time since the incident, he's really played free this year and has played well. And there's been a couple of games he's played really well in. And I think that they're still part of the offense. They need to figure out what to do with him because he could be a pass catcher. He can line up outside the numbers. And, of course, he can just, you know, shoot through the B-gap. He can do that. He's a very talented player. I think a lot of people have been happy with it, but we're also hopeful because, hey, he was pulled over here last year around this time getting ready for the Super Bowl. He's getting ready to get on a plane. He was pulled over by the police. Like, we're hoping that he can keep his life on the straight and narrow. He's made some serious mistakes, and since he's from the hometown area, you hope that he can be better over time, but I think people are beginning to trust him more. I think people are becoming more hopeful for him, and they start to pull for him. But I think there's always going to be a little bit of worry during the months between January and training camp of what he's going to be and how they can take care of him. So I think a lot of people are very happy, but I know we're never going to be out of the woods yet.
That is Ken Carman, one of the best local hosts in the country. He does mornings for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. He is also a colleague of mine at CBS Sports Radio. Ken, appreciate you making time for us today, man. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. You guys take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.